Hi, everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. I'm your host, Gabriella. This is Diversity in Yachting, and today our guest is Simone. Hi, Simone.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
It's nice to finally meet you, my
social
media, but BFF.
Yes, we've been talking for, since last year?
Yes.
That's so crazy. So it's about to be a year on our BFF friendship online.
Yes. It's just like we started talking before I even took my certification courses.
Yeah.
So you've been with me on this entire journey.
Yeah.
For real. Simone, what do I do? How do I do this? How do I deal with this type of person? Like, and you've been super supportive.
Absolutely. I love to be supportive to others trying to get into the industry, especially those who
look
like us.
You're super knowledgeable and you've been like such a great support system for me. So I'm so excited to see your face like and see it move.
Yeah. Not just online.
Yeah. Well, kind of, but not really. Like the new in person is Zoom.
Yeah, for sure. Not in person in person.
Soon enough, maybe one day we'll be on the same boat together. If
yes,
you
yeah.
decide. Okay, I don't want to spoil it. So let's just start from the beginning.
So I got into, I think everyone's reason for getting to yachting is the same, you know, wanting to travel for free, or you just like really love the sea, or you just like really want adventure, you know, in your life. And that was pretty much all three for me. So I was at work at my office job at my desk, Googling how to travel long term.
I love Google.
And yes, and this article kept popping up about yachting. And I was like, that's interesting. So I looked into it a little bit and then forgot it because I was getting like sidetracked of like other opportunities to, you know, be abroad. And then yachting came back around. And I was like, you know, let me give this serious thought. I bought a book. And after that, I was kind of hooked. So it was like February of last year, and I was already like, you know, reserving my room at a crew house. And then a month later, after my birthday, I flew down to Florida last year, 2019. Oh my God. 2019. And then I was down there. I did my first season. I freelanced the whole thing. And that was pretty fun. Interesting, okay. But fun.
We've both kind of had the same experience then, freelancing. But so where are you from, though, originally?
I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, born and raised.
Is that considered the South? It's the South, right?
Yeah, it is considered the South, but luckily I don't have that really thick country accent. I don't think so.
I think it's adorable.
I went to Canada once, and I was talking to someone, and someone came up like, oh my God, I love your accent. I was like, what accent? Because no one's ever said that to me before, so I was so confused. I was like, what do I sound like?
I don't know. I can hear maybe a little tiny hint, but it's not like, you know, how it can be. Which I find adorable either way. But so last year, right after your birthday, you flew to Florida, moved into a crew house.
Mm-hmm.
And did you dock walk? Did you meet with agencies? How did you get started?
I did not dock walk at all. I just think that's like so intimidating, and I don't want to put myself in that much of a vulnerable situation. So I tell myself, I don't care what's going on. I don't care if I don't find a job. I'm just not dock walking. Like, that's not me. I'm not going to do it. I think I first started getting like day work through, you know, my roommates in the house.
Yeah.
So that's how I first started getting like, you know, day work, but like actual gigs. Actually, I think either like, you know, day work 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. or yeah, just word of mouth. I did go through agencies, but I kind of figured just by like talking to other people and like common knowledge, just seemed like, you know, you weren't going to get your first actual permanent gig through an agency. That you just have to find it on your own.
Yeah. So did you ever sit down with any crew agents, or did you just apply online like, you know, everyone does?
I sat with, I think 2 or 3. I went to go and see them because they asked me to come in. But like other ones that like I wanted to go see, you know, they're either like, you know, in Europe, or you need to be more experienced, mm-hmm. or they're pretty much saying like they're not interviewing Green Crew anymore, and you're gonna have to come like in a group for like, you know, some welcome to yachting seminar, where it's like, obviously I know what yachting is, I'm here, so I don't need yet another seminar on what I've already come down here to do.
Right. Yeah, I think that's just a way to weed people out and or like sell people on another class or another training or, you know, but I really do think it's because a lot of people really don't know what they were getting into.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I both did a lot of research before we joined, and we still encountered things that didn't really cross our minds before we joined, you know, because we're like, yeah, it's hard to live with people. Yeah, you have to be diplomatic. Yeah, the work is hard, but there were other, you know, interpersonal, social, you know, things that we weren't prepared for, really. We knew it, but we were kind of like, maybe not me, because I'm qualified, or maybe not me, because I'm educated, or, you know, so were you hesitant in joining when you got to Fort Lauderdale, or before you decided to go?
I wouldn't say I was hesitant. I had that mindset like you, like, you know, I'm qualified. I know what I'm doing. You know, I've been in hospitality before. I've been in customer service before. I've been around, you know, people of higher class. So it's like, you know, I'm qualified. So I'm not hesitant. You know, I'm ready for the challenge. But then also in the back of my mind, it's like, you know, I'm looking into yachting pages on Facebook. I'm joining all the Instagram groups. You know, all I see is white people. So it's like, you know, why are there not that many black people in the industry? Is it because they don't know about it? Or is it because they're not getting the opportunity? And I kind of feel like the black people who do go down to get into the industry, they're not given that opportunity. So it's like, you know, they're not going to go back and tell their other black friends about the yachting industry. So it's kind of like, you know, they go together. And then like reading information just about the yachting industry versus like, you know, what I've experienced, it's kind of like softened. Like they don't give you like the full 411 what's actually going on. It's like softened. So you have to like learn the hard way yourself.
Absolutely. That's a perfect way to put it, because it seems like a lot of people are trying to be safe face. And it's kind of a hush hush industry about like, you know, the dark side of yachting, which when people do mention it, it's in regards to sexual harassment or, you know, things of that nature. But they still don't really touch on race, even though.
Yeah. And that's what
it's like, there's no black people in any media or publication or advertisements that we see. So.
Yeah, that's what bothers me sometimes, because it's like, you know, I'm glad and happy that, you know, women are speaking out about, you know, sexual abuse, sexual harassment, not being, you know, equal in the eyes of, you know, their male counterparts, but you're still living out, you know, what about the black people, both black women and black males, men, who are trying to get, you know, into this industry, because, you know, we're just as deserving as anyone else who's entering in the field as well. And then if you do see a black person, they're usually one, not American, and two, they're most likely male and on the deck. So I rarely ever see any black stews. I've always connected with some, but they're not stews yet. They're not like established in the industry. They're just starting out too. So it's like, you know, who's going to be that one black stew or that one black male deckhand who's going to like work their way up and show that, you know, hey, we can make it in this industry.
I think there are people that are kind of paving the way for more black faces, but such a small percentage that it's just like, and, you know, they've worked very hard and probably have been through so many obstacles, but they're not all of them, but, you know, maybe they're just not talking about it because it's like, you know, I'm here, I made it, so can everybody else. You know,
right.
But like, we do need some more advocates and more, you know, attention on the subject in general. We just do. And I, you know, that's what I love about this show and Rhea giving us a platform to connect, you know, and diversity doesn't just have to be about race. It's just like being a woman, like I've started connecting with women deckhands because I want to transition to deck because interior just maybe not for me. And, you know, I would love to get more female deckhands, more female engineers, you know, involved. And, you know, there's different ways in which you can be discriminated against. And I just think it's nice to hear from everyone. But mostly, you know, my interest is talking more about diversity. And I remember a post in one of our Facebook groups where a woman asked about how women of color are feeling about the yachting industry and do we believe we've been discriminated against. And I thought you had the best, like, most educational, explanatory, but not rude or defensive comment. And someone still had to come in and say, I don't think it exists. There's this is, it's so cultural. There's people from every country. It's like, okay, you totally missed the point. Like, how did it make you feel? And like, what was, I mean, for people that didn't see the post, like how can you explain what you originally said before someone immediately dismissed your experience and your comments?
Yeah. So someone had asked, you know, how were we feeling? It's just a group of stews. And they're asking, you know, how are we feeling about what was going on? It was like when all the Black Lives Matter protests were going out, because for Black people getting shoot while they're unarmed, you know, by the cops. Mm-hmm. And I saw the post. I was like, I wanted to come. I was like, let me give me a second so I can figure out what I want to say. I was like, well, no one's posting. I know there's other Black people in this group as well, but, you know, let me go ahead and say what I have to say because maybe someone else will see what I've been saying. And I pretty much said, what I can remember is that, you know, it is intimidating as a Black woman being in or trying to break into the industry because, you know, I know I'm busting my rump twice as hard, three times as hard as anyone else near me, white, female, male, anyone who's not Black. I know that I'm busting my rump twice as hard as them. You know, I'm seeing them getting jobs, like, you know, so easily, almost without not even trying. And, you know, here I am, a CV full of day work, you know, day trips, temp work, and I'm still getting passed over. So I'm like, why? And then I brought up an incident where I was at an interview for a boat based in Miami. And the lady, she said, I don't mean to be rude, but do you know why you haven't gotten a permanent position yet? And in my head, I was like, yeah, probably because I'm Black. I mean, I know it's because I'm Black, but I didn't say that, but that's what I wanted to say. And then it's like, you know, even on the part of, like, you know, me making the comment of that, me being Black, you know, it's kind of like they play with me through that whole, like, interview process, ended up, you know, hiring someone else, but then calling me, still making it seem that I was still, you know, a candidate, but I could work for them in somewhere else. Like, they're just, like, playing with me. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's a mess.
I know. I hear you. And sometimes when I'm speaking to recruiters and they're looking at my resume and they say, wow, okay, so on all these boats, you were temporary. Do you know why you didn't get offered a permanent position? I'm like, no, I don't, because they, you know, I've been told I did great work. You know, I got along with people, but it's like, if they don't feel like you mesh with the team and you stand out, or you just, you know, you're not really relating. It's like, well, maybe because there's no diversity on this boat. If I'm like,
right,
if I'm the only female and there's five Black or white male crew members and I'm the only Black person, Black female, of course, right, I stand out. I'm not really meshing with the crew. You know, right, like, there's a sense of that, like, you don't belong here sometimes when you're the only Black person in a group. Mm-hmm. And you have to be hyper aware of what you say, your body language, how you act, when no one else seems to. And no one's sensitive about how you feel or your feelings, but you have to be hyper aware of everyone else. Right. I know you worked in the Med, right? For one of your jobs? Did I see
that? The Bahamas.
Oh, okay. So, okay, those photos must have been from when you were traveling on your own then.
Yes.
Okay. So I was like, okay, she was in Italy.
Jealous. I want a dual season boat, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. You will when you come back.
I will. Yes, when I come back.
So were you pushed towards the Bahamas by other Black yachties, like maybe being like, maybe you should go to the Bahamas because there's more black yachties there. Or was it, did you notice maybe that there were, or did you just happen to get on boats that went to the Bahamas?
I think I just happened, well, I was only on one boat, but I was with them for a good little minute, and we just mm-hmm. kept taking trips to the Bahamas because that's where they charter to okay. and where the owners liked going to. But being down there, the only black people I saw were like the ones like who like lived in the Bahamas, like working the docks, not the ones, you know, not boats docked to us with crew. They're all white too.
Yeah, I can see that. So were you the only woman on that boat? Or the black woman?
Yes, I was the only black woman.
How many crew were there?
5.
Okay. And how was the experience? Like, were you feeling treated that you were being treated as another crew member? Or did you feel like you were treated any type of way? Or were they really cool and, you know,
regular? So I would say, yeah, so out of my entire experience being in yachting my first season, that was my favorite boat, my favorite crew, like everything. The captain, he like treated me like family. The chief stew, she was super nice. She was always, you know, thankful for, you know, me picking up the slack and doing extra work. Me and the chef were getting along, and no one ever gets along with the chef, and we were getting along. I was getting along with the deckhand and the engineer slash bosun, and yeah. then the deckhand. So it's like, great. You know, like a little family. We're all getting along. Like, that was like my favorite boat that I was on.
Oh, that's
so good. I had like a really good experience. So it's like, you know, when I get back into yachting and, you know, I'm looking for a boat that's going to be like, you know, the standard for me, like, you know, do I feel comfortable being there? Do they make me feel comfortable? Do I feel like, you know, I don't belong? Stuff like that. Cause I'm not going to put myself in a situation where, you know, people are just, I just don't want to be in a bad situation. I like, you know, good vibes. I want to work hard too and enjoy and have fun, but I don't want to be, you know, looked down upon just because mm-hmm. for whatever sad reason someone thinks.
So after that position, you were looking for a permanent position. You're like, okay, I've done all this day work. I've done all these freelance temp jobs. It's mm-hmm. time for a permanent boat, mm-hmm. right? And season was picking back up. When was this? In Fort Lauderdale,
this. Right? Yeah, so it was in Fort Lauderdale. So this was like the beginning of end of January, beginning of February that I was like with them. And then, you know, their boat was going into the yard and I wasn't permanent on there, but they were pretty much telling me, you know, the owners, they don't want to hire a permanent second stew, but when we go on trips, you're going to be the first one we call. So I was mm-hmm. like, okay, cool, whatever. So, you know, in the meantime, they're like, you know, if you do find something permanent, you know, that's fine. I was like, oh, perfect. I love you guys. Like, no boat's ever going to say that.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, end of January, beginning of February is when, you know, I was working with them and then they went to the yard. And then, so, you know, I was still looking for work and then COVID happened. And then, so that kind of just shut everything down. But, you know, I still stayed through it all. You know, I found another boat to work on while they were in the yard. So I was with them, you know, for 2 months, still staying busy, you know, still trying to make money, get experience, you know, yard experience, you know, even though it's boring, you know how to inventory stuff correctly, clean, you know, you can never not learn enough in yachting. Mm-hmm. And then so once the industry started picking back up, you know, I was applying left and right, getting like all these interviews. I was like, you know, I just like was not getting hired. And it was like, you know, getting to me, it was just becoming mentally exhausting, you know, working day in and day out, you know, having to prove myself to all these people. And then, you know, sending these CVs in and not getting, you know, getting a response, or you get an interview with someone and the next day they're talking about they've gone with someone else. You know, it's just frustrating. It's like, you know, you're doing all that you can. Everyone says, you know, there's a butt out there for everyone. But it's like, okay, where's mine at? You know, I've been down here. Like, even I gave myself the time, like, you know, I'm not going to think I'm going to get a boat in like a month or 2 months. Like, I gave myself like 4 to 6 months. I feel like that's plenty of time for someone to find a permanent position. You know, I'm going on 6 months now when I was back in Miami. And it's like, why is it not happening? I mean, I know it's not me. I get along with everybody. You know, I work really hard. I know what I'm doing. I'm experienced. So it's like, you know, what's not clicking?
Hmm. Yeah, I know. I feel you. Trying to say, like, when recruiters ask me, why didn't any of these temp jobs turn into permanent? It's just like, what I was told is like, oh, well, we're going into a shipyard period. We're going down to skeleton crew. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we're cutting back because of COVID because we don't have enough charters booked. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Excuses go on and on. And yeah, it's definitely like disheartening and emotionally and mentally draining, because you see people that you meet in crew houses or that you've worked with just going on their careers, like nothing's going on, and you're
the yes.
Like, what? And so it's hard not to think, is it something else? Like something else that no one wants to say, or no one even wants to believe. That's why they don't want to hire you, you know?
So, yeah, it almost makes me mad when like agencies or anyone who's like interviewing me asking, well, why haven't you gotten hired yet? I'm like,
tell me.
literally the same reason why you're not about to hire me.
I'd be like, what do you think, girl?
Yeah.
I'm wondering.
Right. Questions I need answers. When you find out, let me know, because I've been wondering the same thing for half a year.
Oh man, it's just, you know, it's a lot of work trying to get along with everyone. So I commend you for, you know, knowing you're like, no, I get along with everyone. There is no reason, because it does feel like you're under a microscope. I think being a person of color in a very white male dominated industry, that, you know, your coworker or your counterpart can do something, but the minute, that's maybe not the best. And then if you do it though, you get in trouble or you get caught or you get reprimanded.
For sure.
So you're not just cleaning a toilet. You're like working overtime, trying to fit these other standards and fight stereotypes that have been laid out before you even got there.
Right. Exactly. Especially
people from different countries, different worldviews, you know, like, you know, honestly, I think that there's a lot working against us,
but for sure,
we have so much to offer. And but like trying to break through those barriers and stereotypes is the hardest part. Do you ever feel like when you arrive that you're thinking that, like, okay, I can't get an attitude, or I can't assert myself, or I can't speak up for myself because they're going to think I'm the mad, angry Black girl? Or do you ever feel that? Because I find myself biting my tongue a lot, or feeling disrespected or condescended, and me not feeling like I'm able to defend myself because I don't want to be written off as the angry Black girl. Have you ever felt like that, or has there ever been a situation where you felt like that?
There was a situation where I had to, you know, I don't ever see that as a problem. Like if I'm feeling like, you know, disrespected or someone's talking down on me, I don't have a problem. What's the word? Addressing it. Because I'm not, you know, I feel like the way, how I approach things, it's not in a rude manner. Yeah. I'm just going to, you know, I know how to talk to someone without getting loud and angry, but that's not even the issue. It's just that if I feel, you know, attacked or disrespected or talked down to, you know, I am going to address it. There was an instance where I was about to get a temp gift for 6 months. And, you know, I think it was like a week and a half before we left, the chief stew pulled me into the galley and she was like, you know, I don't think it's going to work out. And I was like, it totally blindsided me. I was like, well, why? And she's like, we just don't seem happy. You haven't been smiling that much. I was like, girl, I was like, how have you not seen me smile? You haven't been here. I know that you're, you know, provisioning for the boat, getting stuff out the storage, but I've been on here on the boat by myself with your friend packing the boat. So how are you going to say I'm not smiling? And then two, there's no guest on the boat. It's just us. We're literally sweating, packing the boat full of alcohol and drinks, redoing all the rooms. It's like, you know, when someone's talking. Okay. So I do have resting bitch face sometimes.
On your task at hand. If you got your headphones on and you're into your music and you're fighting the bed trying to get the hospital corners perfect, you're gonna be like,
yeah. So I'm saying, like, I'm packing, I'm like, I'm bent over packing stuff underneath this heavy king size mattress, and you expect me to be folding the whole time like a robot. I'm like, so she's pretty much like, you know, I don't think you're gonna be a good fit because you can't be doing that around the guests. It's like, I don't see you walking around here smiling all the time. I don't see the captain walking around here smiling all the time. So it's like, what's actually the issue? And so every time, you know, I tried to explain myself, she like turned it into a negative. So like, you know what? So I was like, you know, I appreciate you letting me work for the week. It seems like you're looking for a specific type of stewardess, and that's not me. but I don't appreciate you taking what I'm saying to you and turn it into a negative, because what I'm saying is what is my opinion, and what you're saying is your opinion, and we're just not going to agree. So thank you for your time. I appreciate my check, and I'm going to leave now. And then that's it.
Good on you, honestly.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you do ask for examples, then people try to flip it, and they'll be like, calm down. It's like, wait, I am calm. I'm genuinely confused as to what you're saying, because I don't feel the same. So
yeah.
Can you hear me out, please? Or can I hear you out? Because I'm trying to understand you better. But for some reason, I think people just automatically think that some people of color are combative or angry or whatever. So it's their prejudice, not your actual tone or what you're actually saying. And, you know, it gets frustrating a lot.
Yeah, I do think it's prejudice because, you know, if you have the same conversation with, if you're addressing something to a non-white person, you're not going to tell them to calm down or be quiet, even if they're probably not. You're just doing that because that's the stigma around Black people and a Black woman, so.
Absolutely. And obviously, we've worked in hospitality, we've worked in luxury environments, so, and for a long time, you know, some of us too. It's just like,
yeah,
well, we know what we what we're doing. And like, of course, if there were guests on board paying 200 grand a week for 7-star service, I'm gonna be cheesing all day.
Exactly. Like, what do you mean? Like, I know how to act when there's, you know, guests on the boat, but if there's no one on the boat, I mean, I'm not going to be, you know, standoffish, but, you know, if I'm in the zone, you know, this was like a new boat, so I'm like trying to figure stuff out within like 2 weeks. Like, you know, I was going to be the second steward on charter, so it's like, you know, I need to learn the boat, where everything's at, where you're putting stuff at. You know, I'm just like in the zone trying to get stuff together, and then this takes me way off guard talking about, I don't think you're happy here because you weren't smiling. It's like, well, are you serious?
That could have been a conversation where you're asked, hey, how, like, this could have been a learning experience for everyone. Hey, let's have a chat. How are you feeling? Are you enjoying your time here on this boat? If not, what can we improve? How can we help you be happy? Because we want you here. I know you want to be here. How can we make this work?
That's literally what I said to her. I was like, I had no idea that you thought, you know, by me, you know, with my straight face, thought I wasn't happy here, because I was. I was like, you know, I wish you would have told me sooner so I would have been aware, because, you know, I'm not looking at my face when I'm doing work. So I was like, I wish you would have, yeah, I wish you would, you know, pulled me aside and told me, like, if you were concerned about, you know, how I was feeling, then we could have addressed it, and this would have been non-existent. So it's like, you know, well, she was like, well, I shouldn't have had to. I was like, what sense does that make?
Well, a lot of people that are in these higher positions don't have management skills
at all.
And I'm just going to say it, they don't. And maybe they were trained. That's the way they were trained, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why there's such a high turnover. And if you really do want a person to succeed, you have to take them under your wing and have these developmental conversations with them. Because if you're expecting people to read between the lines and just like get with the program, but and they have no idea they're doing something wrong or something that bothers you, then how are they supposed to get better? You're just gonna every time and do the same thing to the next person until you have 50 stews in 3 years or some crazy statistic I heard about this boat. Like, it's just like they're wasting the owner's money, and they're getting a bad reputation, and then they're missing out on wonderful crew members like yourself, who has a bright disposition, you're super determined, you are a pleasant person just all around. So, like, you know, like, I would love to work with you, and it's just a bummer that, you know, they don't, some people aren't giving people an equal chance to improve or get better, you know?
Yeah,
just being like,
I agree.
Oh, you're not meshing with the team, you don't fit in. Well, why?
Give me like an actual legit reason.
Right.
And if it's because I'm Black, just tell me. Like, I'd rather you be upfront and honest about how you feel than make something so stupid about me not smiling.
Oh, lawsuit. Can't be doing that.
Well, can they? Because I feel like, well, this was my other thought too. So it's like, you know, everyone's been talking about, you know, wanting change in the yachting industry, you know, wanting to be more inclusive with race, but it's like, how is that actually going to happen? Because, you know, these boats are privately owned by the owners. So it's like, if the owners are racist, then, I mean, it's their boat, so they can do whatever. But then it's another thing if, you know, the captain is, and then, you know, he's at the top and controls everything down. So it's like, how does that actually get implemented? Like, who's that going to start with? Is it going to start with the agencies? Because they're getting paid every time they get someone on the boats. Or are they going to say, no, I'm not going to put you on there because that boat's racist? Or, you know, like, where is that change going to come from? And how is it going to be implemented?
That's a very good question. I still get shocked when I see posts that say, no Russians or no Russian speakers, Corona request, mm-hmm. or no South Africans, like anybody but South Africans. I'm like, oh my God, that is so crazy.
Yeah, but you can be like so selective and like, you know, they try to be like, you know, we want active stews who like to run every day. Just say you want someone skinny. Like, don't.
Right.
Let's not read between the lines now. I mean, we can read between the lines, but don't like, but it like, just annoys me every time I read job descriptions.
That's how small-minded it is, because I've seen yoga instructors that are curvy.
Mm-hmm.
Strong as hell. You know what I mean? So like, but yeah, it is like code for, you know, whatever. And
right.
It's a shame, but it does feel like, because there's an open dialogue about it now, and whether or not people lose their minds and troll you on Facebook for an innocent question. I saw someone post like, hey, I was thinking about joining the industry, but I'm a Black woman and I don't see a lot of Black people. And then she had to put in parentheses, this post is not meant to offend anyone. I genuinely would like to know. And people went off in the comments, and I just sat there eating my popcorn like, what a brave girl. Like,
yeah, I would never. Those Facebook groups are like ruthless. They're like, I don't even know how to describe them nicely on this interview, but it's just like, you know, everyone has the same way of thinking, and if you're different, then it's F you pretty much. They just like attack. It's like, you know, don't even get me started on those groups. I had to unfollow all of them. I'm still in there, but I don't follow them. If I need something, I'll go in there and go right back out. It's just super toxic. People have nothing but time in there.
It can be. And then it's kind of intimidating because you're like, I might end up working with some of these people in these groups. And if that's how they think, or if that's how they are, then it like will make you change your mind sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. You know? I agree.
So, I mean, are you involved in any of the like Black Yachty networks? Because, you know, there are some that are coming out now, like, we all need to stick together. Like, here's like I'm in a WhatsApp group with like all Black yachties, deckhands, stews, everything.
No, I did not know that was a thing. You need to add me.
You did it? Okay.
No.
The girl that interviewed me is one of the administrators. I'll tell her to add you. But other than you, when I was on my first boat and I had no clue what I was doing, I would text the group like, can someone send me a schedule? Because I didn't have a chief stew because she never showed up or whatever. So I ended up being a stew on my first job.
And I did that before. It's not that bad, but it just depends.
Well,
it's a lot.
If the other crew is super supportive and like guiding you, even though it's not their department, that's really nice. But like, of course, I had my YouTube, I had my books. But, like, I needed more details. So I could text this group and someone would privately message me and be like, send me a schedule or send me, like, a clip of how to do the leaf on the toilet paper. Or
oh, that's awesome. I need to be in there.
I have people talking me through it. And it was, like, a safe space where it's just not, like, it's, like, we got
you. How do you not know that?
Yeah, how do you not know that? We got you, sis. Like, took their time to
hang
out. So there is like a for those of you out there wondering, there is a network of Black Yachties where we're in a WhatsApp group, we help each other, we give each other advice, and it's very informative, and it's Black women mostly women from like all around the world. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, everyone's asking about their visa advice or like,
I cannot believe I've been left out of this. How can you not told me? We talk almost every day. I'm hurt.
I'm sorry. Maybe if I would have told you sooner, you wouldn't have left yachting.
Yes, but no, I needed that break. I was just like mentally exhausted. I was like trying so hard. Like the end of the year, like December, everyone went out for New Year's Eve. And I was like literally in my crew house at home, just like crying. So I was like so fed up. I was like, I'm so tired of all these people coming here and getting jobs so easily while I'm just like, you know, working so hard to do everything and anything right. Like I'm literally doing all that I can and can't do anything other than what I'm already doing. And then it was just like, it was just super frustrating. It's like, where do you go from here?
Point. Like, and I know that through this whole almost year that we've been friends, that you've always been super positive. And when I was freaking out, like, I think I'm on a toxic boat, help me. You were like, stick it out, girl. You can do this, like, overcome it. Like, you know, you are a super positive person. So for you to be like, I had enough, and I was like, you know, done, I knew you were serious. But I didn't know that you were going to go back to, you know, your old work and, like, take a break.
Yeah, I need, like, a break. It's like, you know, I'm 27. I'm getting older. Like, you know, stability in a career is what I need. And, you know, I'm willing to, you know, put that to the side for a little bit. But there's, really, you know, so much time I can take off of not having something stable. Even though with yachting, you know, you can get fired for God knows what at any time. But, you know, still, I just have, like, my foot more in the door if I was already, like, on a boat for a permanent position. Like I said, I'm older. I have bills. So I need, like, something a little bit more stable. And then so when I do decide to get back into yachting, which will probably be in March, you know, I'm not going to drop everything like I did last time. You know, since COVID's happened, I feel like captains are a little bit more lenient with, like, you know, flying you to the boat if you're in the States. So hopefully that'll be the case, you know, since I've freelanced, you know, I've been a sole stew and a second stew on charter. So hopefully, you know, that'll give me better, you know, upage on getting, not having to go back down to Florida and doing it all over again.
I think so. That's pretty much my plan too. So we should stay in a crew house together.
Yeah, we should.
An Airbnb together.
Yeah, Airbnb. I don't want no crew house. We can get an Airbnb. I got us.
You know, I'm not going to risk it. No, but yeah, March seems like a good time. Plenty of time to get you mentally prepared for, you know, what you're about to do again. You've had good boats. You've had, you know, questionable boats.
Yeah.
You know, but throughout this whole time, you've maintained your positivity and drive. It's just, you needed to take care of your mental health, which I think a lot of people in this industry ignore, which would explain a lot of, like, the toxic environments that you can end up on a boat. But if you're it yourself, it's easier to deal with and focus more on your job, right?
So yeah, for sure. I think that's why, like, when, even if I, like, don't like somebody or don't get along, it doesn't, like, you know, faze me. I can still be cordial and get my job done. Yes. I know you're there. I know you exist. We don't have to be super cool. I know you don't like me. I probably won't like you, but, you know, we're working together. Yeah. So
fine. We can do this.
We can do this.
All right, love. Well, it was so nice talking to you.
Yes, you too. I had fun.
Me too. It was nice to finally meet you.
Yes, yes. Don't forget to add me in that group.
I'm getting on it right now as we speak. And maybe we'll see each other in March when we head back down to Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
And it'll be great.
Yes, we're going to be in that Airbnb together. No crew house.
No crew house.
That's a whole other story, yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you for watching Diversity in Yachting with Yachting International Radio. I'm your host, Gabriella, and this is Simone, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.